You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy.
Hello and welcome to the Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears. We are coming to you live from the Revival Now studio.
Yes.
And so we just want to say or ask you to just like and share this content, get it out there far and wide as we were praying right before the broadcast started. You know, we don't do this just to do it. We want to we want it to be anointed by God first and foremost. Amen. But we also want it to help you and to be an impact in your life and in everybody that you know. So like and share this content. So the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about what men need and what women need.
Right.
And if you've tuned in to any of those, you'll know men need respect and women need love. If you haven't listened to it, just go back and just watch those last two weeks' episodes and you'll understand where we're getting this information from. Well, it's in the Bible, obviously. Yep. Ephesians 5:22-30, kind of the section for marriages, if you will.
Yeah, that's one section of the marriage.
Yeah, so biblically, scripture in that area, Ephesians 5:22-30, we are commanded to that the husbands love your wives, and we are commanded, wives, respect your husbands. In our opinion, we were reading last week and the week before from the Amplified Version.
Right.
We're not going to read it today just for time's sake. But the Amplified Version, you know, there's lots of great versions out there. But that one is really very descriptive in a way that is helpful to understand
what does it look like
and what does it mean.
Sometimes it's hard to understand what things look like.
It really is.
And that's why, you know, at times we use the Amplified Version because it just helps bring context. Yeah. To what the scripture, the original meaning was.
And we're very practical people. We knew this from the get. I'm a very practical person. You are too.
So am I. Yeah.
He's a teacher at heart. And so that's what we love about the Bible. It teaches us how to live life in a way that's honoring and pleasing to God in every area, including your marriage.
Right.
So today, you know, we want to just jump into the challenges. You know, it's easy for us to say, husbands, love your wives, wives, respect your husbands, and just leave it at that, right? Well, and say, look at the Bible, here it is.
Just do it.
And that's all well and good, you know, if you've died to the flesh and you're understanding what God is really talking about, you know, the bride and the bridegroom, comparing that to Jesus and the church and whatnot. But I know, for me, when I first dove into the scripture, I had this, and we use the visceral word, I had this response to it. It was like,
a little pushback.
I don't think so, you know, because what was happening in my marriage and in our marriage was, you know, you're commanding me to respect my husband, and I'm looking at him and seeing his actions and feeling the day to day, and I don't feel, you know, loved by him, because in return I'm supposed to have his love, right? He's supposed to love me and nurture me and protect me and care for me. And that wasn't going on in either direction.
Right.
You know,
and if I could say, I mean, even from my perspective as a man, now this may not be every man, I'm just saying how I operated. I didn't have a clue how to love anyway.
Yeah, same.
And so I was like aloof to the whole thing, to the whole concept, you know. Maybe it's because I was the youngest born. Maybe I was spoiled and, you know, as a youngest child to some degree. And I just thought the world revolved around me. And so
that with being a guy.
Yeah.
I don't even think that way.
Yeah. Right. I think more from
a respect
and honor perspective, as we talked about the last couple of weeks. But anyway, I didn't even have a clue about that. So, you know, I was aloof. I don't know if most men are aloof that way or don't get it. I think maybe the younger generation might get a little bit better. I don't know. But that's me. But thank God that he's been transforming and renewing my mind through his word.
Yeah. So if I'm commanded in the Bible and I want to do what the Bible says, because I've determined to do that, I've surrendered myself to that. And I'm not just going to pick and choose which scriptures that I want to follow and not follow, because that's just flat out disobedience. And I want to obey what God is saying for me to do in the Bible. He's commanding me to respect my husband, but I don't feel like my husband is respectable. and the Bible is commanding my husband to respect me or to love me, mm-hmm. and I'm certainly not lovable, you know. So we're in this tug of war. So what happens?
Yeah. Yeah, there's this battle. I mean, so what's the reasoning behind that? Well, the first thing I think we need to talk about and address is there's a spiritual condition, mm-hmm. right? We can look at all the stuff on the surface and we can see that, you know, our wives aren't respecting us or the husbands aren't loving the wives the way they should. And all of that is true and all of that is real. And we're not, you know, discounting that for sure. But there's also a spiritual condition at play here. Yeah. So the Apostle Paul talks about this. That we're in this war.
Oh, yeah.
That our fleshly nature, which, you know, when we're born into this world, we're born into sin. So there's this sinful nature that we already mm-hmm. have that we're mm-hmm. dealing with, right? And when we give our life to Christ, we're born again. We've been renewed on the inside. But Paul said, look, even though I've been renewed on the inside, there's this war of my flesh battling against the goodness of my spirit, what's been renewed in me by Christ. And they're constantly fighting against one another, one to do the right thing and always the one, the flesh pulling at us to do the wrong thing mm-hmm. or just not follow the commandments of what, mm-hmm. what the Bible speaks about. So I'm going to read to you what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verses 19 through 23. And you're going to just hear this language. It's just so clear as we read it. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 18. So it says, and I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. So Paul's not saying that we don't have a responsibility here, right. that we, you know, okay, sure. well, Paul's just let me off the... No. There's more. You have to read all of like chapters, Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 to get a full perspective on this. But he's just talking about this battle, this war that wages within us. But what he says in verse 21, I have discovered this principle of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. Now, that word heart there, when you go back and look at that in the original language, it's not talking about your heart, your physical heart. It's talking about your inner man. It's talking about your spirit that has been reborn, made mm-hmm. new with Jesus. Once you give your life to Christ, your spirit has been made new. So in your spirit, you have this agreement that what God's word says is right and mm-hmm. is true. And in your spirit level, you love it, right? But you battle what's mm-hmm. in the flesh, mm-hmm. what's in your mind. And so going on to verse 22, I did verse 22, but verse 23 says, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. So there's this battle that Paul's talking about, this struggle, this tug of war that continually goes on that we fight, both men and women.
Oh, yeah.
The unique challenges that we have as men and women, they're going on all the time. And so being born into sin, how do we overcome that? Mm-hmm. If we're born into it, how do we overcome that? Well, number one, you have to give your life to Christ. That's the beginning place of everything, you know, from a biblical worldview that we operate from. But being that we're born into sin, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I think even Evangelist Dan said that on his broadcast mm-hmm. last night. Mm-hmm. We have to be renewed
Amen.
In our mind, right? So we have to think right. To be able to do right now.
And I think it's important to say in regards to the scripture that you know, the battle that we have between spirit and flesh, because the Bible says the battle is not flesh and blood and bone.
That's a great scripture.
It is spiritual.
That's right. It's a spiritual battle. We're fighting against principalities.
And that is helpful to keep that in mind as you rub against your husband mm-hmm. or spouse in a way that causes friction.
So let me take it just one step deeper when it talks about this war of the flesh against what's taking place in our spirit. Our spirit loves God's law. Everything that is right and good and love and perfection is in our spirit, man, because mm-hmm. that's the part that's been reborn. That's the part that Christ made us alive to. So mm-hmm. everything in that place in us, in our spiritual being, in our inner man, is perfect. And we agree with God's word that it's perfect, mm-hmm. right?
Amen.
But then there's this battle in my flesh. So the flesh we talk about, we can also say there's the mind, the will, and the emotions, which is really our soul. So when the Apostle Paul's talking about in Romans 12, or chapter 12, verse 2, he's saying you have to transform by the renewing of your mind. You're Amen. Renewing your soul how to think mm-hmm. differently. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like this. Think about a plumbing situation, a water valve, right? Your soul is actually the valve that you have to turn in order for the things of the Spirit, which agrees with God's word, that is what has to be turned in the right direction in order for the things of the Spirit to flow out of you.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to renew your mind. That's why the Word of God and being in the Word of God becomes very, very important.
Amen.
Because if your mind is not renewed and made right, then the things that lie within you that agree with God's Word can't come out because mm-hmm. it's being blocked by wrong thinking.
That's right. That's right.
That's what's taking
Fleshly
place.
Thinking.
So you've got to renew the soulish part of who you are.
Amen.
Your mind, your will, your emotions. You have to bring those things into submission.
Amen.
Which leads us, I think, to the next scripture.
Mm-hmm.
That you, am I you reading that or are you reading
I'm
that?
I'm reading that. I just didn't know if you were ready for
no,
it.
No, yeah, go ahead. Read that.
So we're going to read 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, reading from the NLT. It says, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. Mm-hmm. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself may be disqualified." That's really good.
It's very good. Now,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that really speaks to the spiritual walk, you know, the training that and the discipline and the renewing and the restoring. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday about this very thing, you know, that we have to renew our minds each and every day. We have to allow the Lord in each and every day and live a life of repentance and forgiveness in order to really fulfill and to receive those things of God.
Amen. Amen. And so what Donna just read, Pastor Donna just read for you is the way that we come out of this. This is how we overcome the struggle between the flesh, mm-hmm. our fleshly nature, our mind, our will, and our emotions, and really what lies within our spirit if we've been born again.
Mm-hmm.
We have to discipline ourselves. We have to beat our bodies. I think another translation is we beat our bodies into submission, basically.
I'm telling you, it's so true.
Yeah, it's emotionally draining.
Some days the battle's tough. But what I do and what I know is I have an eternal prize. I have if I submit to what the Bible says, and I'm specifically talking about our marriage right now,
right.
Then there's a prize at the end of that race or during that race is a great marriage.
That's exactly right.
I'm probably jumping ahead.
But that's okay. But that's what the Apostle Paul, he was actually referring to the eternal prize, our heavenly reward.
Absolutely.
Right? That's what he's referring to here. But there's an application like you're talking about, mm-hmm. which is applicable to our marriage. If we run a good race, if we discipline ourselves, we can have a great marriage. We can have success
Absolutely.
Now. It doesn't
have to
be later.
We can
later.
See the blessings of the Lord in our marriage right now, each and every day. But I'm telling you, ladies, I can just only speak for ladies. It's a battle of the flesh a lot because
no
there's a lot to take in and a lot to absorb in surrender and sacrifice. And
it's true.
The man being the head of the home. I mean, those are a lot of major, major feels, if you will, in the flesh that you have to die to.
Yeah.
Because why? You know, do I naturally want to die to those things? No, I'm a very independent woman. I like to have my own opinion, and I do. But I follow what the Bible says because there's a prize. And I'm thinking, always thinking eternal, mm-hmm. always thinking eternal, always. Now, can we have a bad marriage and both of us still make it into heaven? Probably.
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that?
Right.
Why on earth would you want to even endure your marriage when you know from if you're listening to us, you know there's so much better.
And we'll expand it beyond just the two of us, right? Why would you want to impact your family with a bad marriage? Because there's a generational
Amen.
Impact here, right?
Amen.
So you're teaching bad behavior. There's learned behavior that's taking place with your children. Are they going to repeat the same mistakes that you made? You have to show them
yes,
something
they will.
Different. Yeah. So you have to show them something
different.
Because
our kids have done that, and we've had to undo that.
Absolutely. So let me continue on with Romans chapter 6, 12 through 14, just to drive this point home just a little bit more. Paul says, and just to kind of follow up with what Donna just read, Pastor Donna read with 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So Romans 6, 12 through 14 says this, do not let sin control the way you live.
That's good.
These are choices, right? Do not give in to sinful desires. This is a choice. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Choice. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. When you're
Hallelujah.
Born again, you have a new life. When you read God's word, your mind is being transformed and renewed so that valve in your soulish realm can open up and allow the spirit,
Amen.
The things that are right,
Amen.
The things that are lovely, the things that are good can actually flow out of you and into your marriage,
Amen.
Right? So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Now, Paul goes on to say, well, now that I live under grace, I can do whatever I want. No, that's not what Paul's talking about. Just because we live under grace doesn't mean we have a right to sin.
Right.
That doesn't mean God's grace is always going to cover, but that doesn't mean we should operate and live that way. As
there's
a Christian.
There's too many people out there professing to be Christians, but still do what they want.
Do what they want. They're really not submitted.
Your witness is just as bad.
Exactly. So you're really not
yeah.
submitted to the word of God at that
yeah.
point, based on what
yeah.
Pastor Donna just said, right? And based on what the Bible says. You're just still submitted to yourself. You're still on the throne. You're still making the decisions. You're really not submitted to what
Preach.
God's word says.
That's right.
And at
That's
the end
right.
of the day, what do you want? Let's bring it back to the vision. We want a great marriage. We want to have success in our marriage. So we have to die to our way of thinking and allow the word of God to renew our thinking
Amen.
So that we can have the great marriage that we're really looking
Amen.
For.
Amen. So let's jump into the challenges here and help. We're going to help you understand the whys of the situation. So why don't you dive into why won't husbands love?
Why won't husbands love?
Well, from your perspective, obviously.
This is something you talked about. I don't know. It's been maybe 2 years ago almost. But
Has it been that long?
I think it's been that
Woo.
Long. But you know, there's obviously when a husband doesn't feel respected or honored, it hurts in a deep way, right? But there's also even a level that you talked about that talks about contempt, that mm-hmm. you actually have contempt for your husband, which
yep.
is maybe even worse. It's to another degree of just painful hurt that a husband is going to feel. And what does contempt actually say? Contempt is when you're made to feel less than. You're worthless and even despised. When you're despised by, I know at one point in our marriage, you despised me.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't say it. You didn't come out and say it, but all
but
I had to do.
My actions were, or my tone of my voice, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, you despised me.
And sorry, we can laugh about that now. But
yeah, we can.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for renewing us. but, I mean, you really did not like me. I know you loved me because that's, you know, in your nature and how God created you to be, you love and you can, it's easy for you to do, but it didn't mean you really liked me.
Right.
And you didn't really respect me. You actually despised me. And so there's just this feeling of contempt.
Yeah,
yeah, I felt it. You know, in ways of contempt, it feels like, you know, you're not respected. You're worthless. And you're made to feel like you don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel that from wives, absolutely, from our ladies. You can come across that way.
There's
and
a lot
really
of,
not...
there's a lot of ladies out there, a lot of that mm-hmm. do that.
Yeah, it's vicious, and
I
you really don't understand the hurt and the level of pain that you're causing your husband.
I think it's a habit, you know, that you get with your group of lady friends or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden you're just husband bashing or boyfriend bashing, and you get a chuckle out of it, but that carries home, you know, that's out of the mouth, you know, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if you're saying those kind of things in the company of your girlfriends or whomever might be within earshot, you're certainly feeling those things.
Well, and you're all,
gonna
if you're going
to
do that and share that amongst your friends, you're going to do that in front of other people when
Absolutely.
He's there, which
Absolutely.
Is a huge,
yeah.
you know, thing that always hurt me is when Donna would, you know, diss me or disrespect me or, you know, have contempt for me in front of other people. That hurt in such
dismiss you, whatever.
Those things hurt in such a great way. So then you're also not validated as a husband or a father in front of your family. Man, I can't even tell you how bad that hurts, but it does. It hurts deep down. It really gets you to the level that, you know, you're not important. You're not valuable as a husband or a father. And the family could just be fine without you. And so those kinds of things hurt. Your authority is undermined. That's another thing. Now, I'm not talking about, we've talked about the biblical submission and so on. So I'm not talking about husbands dominating over their wives. Okay. What I am talking about is a biblical submission where, you know, there's discussion is taking place between a husband and a wife. And some of that can be done in private. It doesn't have to be done in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
And you don't need to do that in front of your children, right? Have respect. Men value respect and honor, and when you dishonor them in front of your children and other people, you're basically going to deflate them, and they're going to shut down on you. And we spoke about that the last couple of weeks. And so,
what Pastor Richard is sharing with you is why husbands won't love, why they won't show love, protection, nurture to their wives.
Yes.
And it's very real.
It's a very real problem.
If you listen to the last couple of weeks, we're talking about the felt need here. Men need to feel respected. Women need to feel love. And so all of those things, every bit of what you just, you know, talked about encompasses why a man potentially might not risk it, let's just say, or put himself out there and make himself vulnerable to be rejected and cut down and made fun of and dismissed.
Yep.
So if that's you out there, fellas, you know, and you identify with that, you know, just hang in there, because now I'm going to jump to the ladies' side of why.
What they can do, actually.
Of the ladies. Yeah. Yeah. What ladies can do to right the ship.
Yep.
To right the ship. So ladies, you know, if you are in this camp and you're like, oh my gosh, I do that. I didn't realize it, but I do. Maybe you did realize it and you're just going with the flow. It's a peer pressure thing, or it's what you saw growing up. You know, we get it. We've been there. You know, the cool thing is God can turn you into a new, you know, make you into a new creation, a new person, renew your mind, and he can write this ship for you. But it's going to take some work. It took a lot of work for us. It took a lot of work on our part. And so your husband needs to be your hero. You know, he needs to know that he is great. He's your hero, your savior, in a way that, not like Jesus, but, you know, that you look to him for that protection and that nurturing and that love.
Right.
And that's not just something that he's just going to automatically jump into if he realizes now that he's functioning the way that he's functioning. You've got to work on this, and communication is a big key to all of this. And it really is, like we've always said in almost every one of our episodes, it's a matter of the heart. So he needs to know, is he doing things right? You know, what is it that's rubbing you the wrong way? And can we talk about this? It all comes down to, you know, and this sounds kind of like, gosh, do I really have to do this? But men need to be praised for their accomplishments. They need to know that we are proud of them, that we are just in awe of them, and not in like a
condescending,
unspiritual
tone.
Or, you know, just like, and initially I was like, oh my gosh, that sounds so like,
Do I have to continue to feed his ego?
Do I have to continue to feed his ego? You know, do I really have to do that?
But if it's done in a way that is truly heartfelt, that you really appreciate something that your husband has done for you, the husband will pick up on exactly how you're delivering it.
Yeah.
And he's going to know that it's genuine, and he's going to know that, hey, you know, my wife really does appreciate me. And it's not necessarily going to puff me up per se and make me proud and make me, you know, lack humility. But it's going to say, you know, my wife does appreciate some of the things that I've done in and around the home, or whatever the thing that was asked of me to support on or help. she appreciated that. Mm-hmm. And it's gonna spur me on. I don't know if
you
get it,
but I thank you a lot for the things that you do.
I do get it.
Like, I don't have the attitude of like, well, yeah, he should do that. He's part of this household. Yeah. You should do that. You're part of this household. Right. But I still take the time to thank him for doing that. Thank you for helping me out. Thank you for being a helpmate to me. You know, that kind of a thing.
It's really creating, and I think it goes both ways, meaning like men need honor and respect. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just what we live off of, mm-hmm. and we're successful when we're getting that, right?
It's the fuel, but, you know, for their...
What you're talking about can be done both ways, right?
Sure.
There is still an atmosphere of honor and respect for the wife
Absolutely.
And for the husband.
Absolutely.
It's both. It goes both ways. So if you create this environment of honor, whereas, okay, well, I mean, he knows that I think he's great or whatever. No, you're not getting the big picture of you're creating an environment for honor and respect.
That's true.
Between husband and wife, and your kids are going to see it, and they're going to duplicate that because they see that honor and respect is important and it matters, and it's going to change the destiny and the future of your family and your marriage.
And if this is something that you don't do right now and it's not natural for you to do, which it wasn't for me, it's a discipline. Mm-hmm. And it's like we read in the scripture, you know, you're training in mm-hmm. this race. You're continually training in this race of your marriage and in this race to eternal life, to win the prize mm-hmm. of eternal life, let's just say. And so start doing it and start making it a habit. And then at some point, that's just, you know, how you function and how you do things. But don't just do it privately. You can start privately. It might feel weird or uncomfortable because you're used to cutting people down or making fun of people or your husband or whatever. But over time, you're gonna get it, and you're gonna reap the rewards, I guess.
You reap what you sow.
You know, privately, being proud of your husband like you are your kids, and publicly, you know, sharing how great your husband is in front of other people. Your husband needs to know that you are their best friend. Your husband needs to know that you have their back no matter what. Even if something, you don't agree with something initially, you talk about it, you know, behind closed doors. You don't hash it out in front of people just so because you have a quick tongue and you can hurt people with your tongue. You don't do that.
Well, James
to your husband.
The book of James says you need to tame your tongue because it's like a rudder. And it can steer a ship in a particular path. If you have this negative tongue all the time, then you're basically steering your marriage Amen. In a negative environment. So don't steer it that way.
How do you do that, ladies? You continually focus on what is good. The scripture, I can't remember if it's in Ephesians or whatnot, about, you know, focus on what is good and true and positive. I had to do this because initially, now obviously that's talking about an eternal perspective.
Right.
But I applied this scripture early on to my husband because it helped me to write. I actually literally wrote out what is good, what is lovely, what is honoring, what is deserving, you know, all of that to help me be more honoring and respectful to him. I had to focus on what is good about my husband. Now, at the time, ladies, I couldn't give you one thing that was good about him because it was all about me and I was just miserable and whatever.
Well, that scripture that you're referring to is Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8.
There you go.
So, yeah.
And so, thank you. And so, but over time, my mind has been renewed and continues to be renewed, you know, because true transformation will happen as you allow the word of God to sink in and soak deep into your spirit.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Yeah.
So now let's move over to wives. Wives, why won't wives respect? I mean, that's the question that men have, right? So I think it boils down to everything that Donna just spoke about, right? Women don't, if they don't feel loved, mm-hmm. then you're going to have this difficult time of getting the respect that you're looking for. Now, we know, we've already said this, right? The Bible commands wives to respect husbands. He commands husbands to love wives. So we're commanded to do it, but there's the practicality of things where it may not be playing out. We might be commanded, but we got this battle in our flesh that we're dealing with, and we're just not quite there, and we're not seeing it. Well, like you said, let's focus on the good things that our husbands do. Let's focus on the good things that our wives do. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I make a point on that? Thank you for saying that again.
Yeah.
You know, for... What I want to tell you is because you can't see it at that time, there's nothing good about my husband right now. Well, think about back when you were courting or dating, we'll just say, and you pursued him because there was a lot of good things about your husband at that time. Yeah. And so God is a God of remembrance. And so he likes to take us back to remind us of why we are now married and have children and have a family, why I was so enamored and in love and over the moon with him, you know, and him with me. And so, you know, it's good to go back to remember those things, you know, because I was allowed to see that he is kind and loving and has a great heart. And there were so many good things that the devil was just blinding me on, because the devil just wants to come in and split marriages up. Yeah.
He's a liar.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
No, that's good. I'm glad you said that. So, you know, okay, guys. So why won't your wives love and or respect you? Sorry.
That's all right.
We're mixing these things up, or I'm mixing these things up.
We got you.
You know, it's not enough to just say, hey, honey, I love you. It's not enough. I mean, words matter. You know, words of affirmation matter for you. You like to be affirmed in different ways, whether how you're looking today or what you did or whatever the thing is. Affirmation is a top thing for Pastor Donna. So certainly saying certain things matters. But also those things that we say, we need to back up with our actions.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, just some basic things like simple chores around the house or whatever. Like I would say, yeah, I'll do that, honey. And then I don't do it, right? So I'm not being responsible. So in a sense, me not doing what I was agreed to do in the first place and having to be reminded of that really isn't, it really isn't coming through. So these are things that, guys, you need to look for. So when your wives are not feeling loved, these are clues you don't want to miss, all right? You want to look for these kinds of things. She may have her guard up, and she may just be emotionally closed off to you, and you're wondering, like, what's going on? Well, she may not feel love from you. She may not see your words and your actions lining up. You may see her reacting, crying, or just being sad. There's the very likelihood here is that she's not feeling loved by you. And then lastly, another thing she should look for is she reacts defensively, or she questions your motivations, or questions your love for her. And so any of these things you start to see become a pattern. And when you see these things coming forward in your wife's behavior, then there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to start finding out and asking the question, hey, honey, what am I not doing that's not showing you love, showing you appreciation?
A lot of times the wife will just feel like not a priority. You know, you get into the the doldrums of life and the busyness and the routines and the schedule. And this happens a lot, even to us. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't make each other a priority. And so we just have to be reminded of that.
Right.
Yeah. But you do, you know, you see me and feel me pulling away and have my guard up, and I don't really want to communicate, you know,
right.
Not that it's a conscious thought in my mind, it's just what happens.
It's what happens. Yeah. And so when you see those things, your wife really isn't getting what she needs, the fuel she needs, which is to feel loved by you.
Amen.
So putting her first, thinking of her, even though you've had a busy day, guys, you know, hey, you had a busy day. Well, here's an excuse, right? You had a busy day at work. Oh, I need to go play some golf. I need to unwind. All right. But then you're leaving her with the kids to take care of everything once again, each and every day.
Or leaving her alone.
Her alone. You're not putting her first at that point, right? You're putting yourself first. So again, it's that sacrificial thing that your wife is looking for. Even though you've had a hard day, a long day, a challenging day, just say no to golf and say yes to your wife and put her first.
That needs to be a t-shirt. So you jumped into, you know, husbands, what can you do to bring about the respect from your wives? And we don't want you to feel like it's a manipulation. This isn't a manipulation. No. These are behaviors that need to be renewed and restructured, and priorities that need to be redefined in order to bring about that blessed marriage that God will just bless your marriage and pour his blessings out over your marriage. That's what we're talking about. It's not a manipulation. And if you are thinking that that's what we're talking about, that it's not. I just wanted to put that out there.
We don't want it to be manipulation.
So what, because everything that, you know, the things that you're asking me to do in order to, for you to feel respect is the things I would do for other people. Like, it's the things I do for my friends and for the people that I know and my kids. Like, why would I not do that, you know, for you? Why are spouses the exception to the rule? That should not be happening out there. So what can we do, you do, guys, to bring about the respect that you desire? Mm-hmm. Like you said, you know, be involved. Be involved. I mean, we could just leave it there. Yeah. Be involved in her day. You know, you may not care one bit that she's had her own 8 hours at work and she seems happy. So the day must have gone well. Well, you don't really know that, you know, so communicate, talk to your wife, ask her about her day, ask her if there were any challenges, ask her what's going on at work or ask her mm-hmm. what's happened. We're just talking about connection, right? Relationship and connection, because as ladies, we desire that. We desire connection. Mm-hmm. We desire intimacy. Yeah. And when you ask about our day, that means that you're interested. You're pursuing me. You're interested in what makes me happy or what has made me frustrated during that day. Not that he's there to fix it, but he's there to listen mm-hmm. and to hear about my day. He's actually, and sometimes I'm like, I don't really want to talk about the day because the day's over and you know, no big deal. The day was good.
Sure.
You know, yeah, move on. You get a pass for that day or whatever.
And really, you know, guys, I know what our desire is. We like to be physically connected to our wife, and that's great. And we both desire that. But for a wife to get to that place where she wants to physically desire you, you have to be emotionally connected. That's why being a part of the day, involved in the day, becomes very important for a wife because. Mm-hmm. You know, she's got all these things, you know, like apps popping up all the time throughout her day.
Amen.
And so that's everything that she's involved in. And so she needs to also unwind by communicating, by sharing and what's going on. And you need to be, you know, heartfelt, like, hey, honey, how was your day? What's really going on? What can I help you with? You know, you've had such a tough day. What can I do to help you today?
All of those things are seeking to understand your spouse. And that is just amazing. Like initially when you would start asking me that, you know, I wouldn't know how to answer because I just handled everything on my own. Like, I don't know. I got it. It's mm-hmm. under control. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. But that's not the point to all of it. It's coming together as husband and mm-hmm. wife and working life together in a way that's beneficial and bountiful, if you will, for both of you. So and so it's lifting, like you're saying, it's lifting a burden from your wives. How are you going to know what's a burden to her? Like, he may say, I'm this makes me laugh, I'm gonna make the bed for you today, you know,
let's don't go into all that, but yeah.
and I'm gonna be like, please don't, I will handle that myself because I'm very particular about how the bed is made. So that's not helpful for me because I will just then come and unmake the bed and remake the bed.
Right.
Legit. I'm not lying.
Yeah.
And so what am I talking about? It's talking to your wife. You know, what really is helpful? Yeah. You know, is doing these dishes helpful? Is sitting, you know, sit and read the Bible together. That's a very intimate thing that can happen between the two of you that doesn't lead to sex or anything like that for you ladies out
there.
That's right. So, we need to wrap this up.
We're wrapping it up. So at the end of the day, here's the question you have to ask yourself. And this is a question that ladies, you know, you need to ask yourself and husbands, to ask yourself. Yeah.
If you haven't been listening at all, this is something you want to write down.
Who goes first? You know, in the change of behavior, who goes first, right? Well, we've talked about this in past episodes saying, look, at the end of the day, you're accountable for yourself, right? And what you do and following the commandments of
Christ.
Well,
I'm not going to respect you until I feel loved by you.
So that's the question, right? Who goes first? I'm going to wait until she starts respecting me before I love her, or no, I'm not going to love him until he starts, or I'm not going to respect him until he starts loving me the right way.
So, I get it. It's legit.
So what it comes down to is who's the most mature?
That's right.
Who's going to go first?
Who's going to sacrifice the selfishness, right? Sacrifice. It really comes to laying it all on the altar. Okay, God, I hear what you're saying. I understand what Pastors Richard and Donna are saying. I don't necessarily feel respected by my wife, but I'm going to do what you asked me to do, and I'm going to love her mm-hmm. the way that you're asked. Even if I get nothing in return, I'm going to do
And I'm going to find out what she desires and how she wants to be loved, and I'm going to do those things.
And it takes that first person to be like, I'm throwing it all on the altar. Mm-hmm. Really, that's what I had to do. I'm just throwing it on the altar. you say in your word that you're going to make all things new for me, that you're going to perfect that which concerns me, that you are for me and not against me, that I am your child. And so I'm pulling on your word, God, and I'm expecting you to do a thing in my marriage.
Right.
And then I conduct myself, because I can't manipulate him to do anything. I conduct myself in a way that's honoring to God and his word.
So the things basically that we've talked about today is that there's a spiritual condition. It's called sin. We may be born again, but we have this inward struggle that goes on, right? We have to renew our minds. Mm-hmm. So that's one piece of it. But then there's the practical side of things, where how we conduct ourselves toward one another matters practically, right? So we can renew our mind with the word, but we also have to apply those things that we learn and do them, right? And practice and communicate and to talk. But at the end of the day, if you're already a born-again believer, those are the things you need to actually work on and apply in your life and your marriage. But if you're not born again, if you've not given your life to Christ, that's the starting place to have a great marriage.
Amen.
That's where it all begins. Because if you don't have the empowerment of Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, living on the inside of you, you can't do the things that we've been talking about
today.
You're
just putting a Band-Aid on it.
It's not possible. It's like the Apostle Paul said, it's like, who's going to help me at the end of that scripture that I read in Romans, or maybe it was, Romans, I think it's 7, 19 through 23. If you go on to read that, the Apostle Paul says, who's going to help this worthless sinner that I am? Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
This is the beginning place of that.
Amen.
So all you need to do with a heartfelt sincerity is you have to first recognize that you're a sinner. If you've not given your life to Christ, we've all sinned. The Bible says that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have. We're all born into it. And so recognizing that and recognizing our condition is what's most important. And when after we have that recognition, we need to repent. The Bible says that we must repent of our sins, because we can't do it on our own. There is no works that we can do to earn our salvation. Only Christ, only the perfect sacrifice that Jesus Christ came and did for you and I can cover and wash over our sins. Our sins are forgiven as far as the east is to the west. God remembers them no more when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, his son, and what he did. God raised him from the dead. If you believe on Jesus Christ and repent, you will be saved. And that's finally, the third thing, you have to receive it. It's a free gift. It's not something that you can earn. You're not going to work. You're not going to be, well, I'm a good person. Well, that's not enough. I'm sorry. We can all say that. I can say that before I gave my life to Christ. Well, I'm a good person. Yeah. I do good things. I'm sorry. That's not enough. You were born into sin. You have to recognize that condition. And then the last thing you must do is you must receive him as your Lord and your Savior and receive that free gift of salvation that he offers to you. That's what God's done. God came. That's God. So God loved the world, he gave. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave us life.
Amen.
Eternal.
Amen.
He gave us the ability to have life in its full and its abundance right here and right now. And as that even would apply to your marriage, he wants you to have a joyful, happy life and a happy marriage.
Amen.
He does. He
Amen.
Wants that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so will you give your life to Christ today? Will you say yes to Jesus today? He already said yes for you. Will you say yes to him to be the Lord and Savior of your life? Just pray this simple prayer with me right now in your heart with sincerity. And when you do, Jesus is going to come to live on the inside of you. So pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know and I recognize that I am a sinner. I'm fallen. I'm not perfect, and I never will be perfect, but you are. And I thank you that you came and you died for me. I repent of my sin. I repent of all the things that I've done. And Father, I recognize that there's so many bad things in my life. I can't even believe that you would do this for me, but you are going to do this for me, and you have done this for me. And so I repent of my sin, and I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for dying for me.
Yes,
thank you. thank you for taking that great sacrifice on the cross for me and my sin and giving me eternal life with you and the Father forever and ever. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says that if any, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what just took place Amen. Right now.
Welcome the to Bible the family of God.
Yes, Amen. Welcome to the family of God. The Bible is true. God does not lie. And so when you call on the name of the Lord, you are saved.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And so go to our website at revivalnow.com. You see on our homepage, you'll see a big red button that says, I just got saved. Click that. Follow the prompts. We just want to get you some information to help you in your new decision to accept Jesus Christ. So would you do that today? Thank you so much. We thank you. We love you. Thank you for spending this time with us again today. We know it's valuable. Again, like and share the broadcast. We want to help as many people as we can. Hey, we love you guys. We'll see you again next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.